Well, good morning, all of you beautiful people out there.
Good morning.
Internet land? We'll call it internet land.
The land of the nets.
Here's the thing. Tim and I are in the same room at the same time. It's been the first time in 3 weeks that we've both been in the same room at the same time.
It's been a while.
Next week, we will be in different states.
Yes, we will.
But that's okay.
Yeah, you'll be weddinging.
I'm doing a wedding in Arkansas. And
hey, we are both doing a wedding this week. I'm doing my brother-in-law's wedding on Saturday night.
Congratulations. I'm doing a wedding on Saturday night.
Should we FaceTime while doing
yes,
the wedding?
Yes, I think we should.
Could we live broadcast? Should the show go live
the
on Saturday night mid-wedding?
The show should go live from the weddings, and it'll be wonderful. And today, right now, in a few seconds, we're going to camp because we've got Derry Prinkert on the screen right there. You guys are about to see him.
It's going to be beautiful. I just got back from camp. Derry is still at camp. It turns out the dude moved to camp for the
summer. He moved his entire family to camp. They live in a trailer at camp, and it's wonderful. We both were preaching on the same subject yesterday.
Yes. Neat. Jesus in prayer.
Yesterday was Sunday.
And this is the morning after.
Welcome to the Morning After Ministry Show, a caffeine-fueled look back on the week and ministry that was.
Well, hey, Derry, we can see you now.
All right. Oh, I see him. Look at him.
Look at him. There's Derry Prinker. And get this. Why don't you guys talk for a second? Because there's somebody right outside of my office that I can tell
Andrew is looking for
my car keys.
That's
so
fine.
Excuse me.
You're good. Andrew has to go do senior pastor weirdo stuff. So, Derry, some of us might not know who you are. So before we jump into all things camp, why don't you just take a few seconds, tell us who you are, tell us about your podcast, and tell us why you love Disney.
Yes, all three of the most important points.
Yes.
Yeah. So I am a youth pastor in northern Indiana, and I'm in Amish land. Like, Timothy, here's the deal. I just found out, if you know Amish culture and you've ever heard of Rumspringa, that's the time where you go out and you test the world. We have a girl that's at our camp, and she's doing that as a part of her Rumspringa. She's rebelling from the Amish church and coming to our camp. So that's the culture.
Are you serious?
I've been at this church. I started as an intern in 1996, and it's the only church I've ever served at. And so I'm in my 22nd year of student ministry. Hence, I call it my third decade of youth ministry, all at the same church, which could mean I really am terrible at this, and I'm just a victim of my circumstances. But yeah, that's where the idea of a podcast that's part of the same network you guys are in is my third decade. It's just basically my story of the journeys, lessons learned along the way, and people hopefully can benefit from hearing from that. So that's kind of my youth ministry world. I'm a dad, a husband, I have four kids, which only Timothy is beating me in the kid count, but I love them to death, and we love Disney. And that's part, our worlds collide, the three of us collide through DYM. But they also definitely collide through Disney. And maybe one of my fondest memories of Disney was just last fall when the Larsons and the Prinkerts and the Millers all got together on one car of the Frozen Ever After ride.
And the babies looked so scared in that picture.
But they were happy.
We should have actually prepped the show, and I could hit a button right now and have that picture come up. Maybe we'll put that in the story or the notes after. But
absolutely.
It's fantastic.
As Timothy would say, it was a beautiful thing.
It is.
It was a beautiful
Derry,
thing.
Derry, I've got a very important question for you.
Ooh.
Your show, My Third Decade, which if you are not listening to it, shame on you, because of all the shows on the podcast network that we are so proud to be a part of, it is by far the most thoughtful. Like, you could tell there's a lot of shows where like, oh yeah, what are we doing today? And then we talk. And you can tell that Derry has sat down.
Are you talking about our show?
Yes, I am. But you can tell that Derry has sat down like months in advance and said, show 17 will be about this.
Yep.
Show whatever will be about this.
Sure.
And so he's got all of his stuff super planned out, and it's wonderful. But the theme song, Derry, the little jingle you have that plays at the front, is that hidden somewhere in the deep archives of GarageBand, or did you buy that jingle? Where did it come from? It's so good.
So I have a friend who does a lot of podcasts. He kind of got me set up, and he had a subscription to a royalty-free site and told me, like, hey, I'll help you. I'll get this for you. So I found it on a site. I can't remember the name of the site. But, yeah, found it, listened to multiple, played it to my wife, played a few different choices when she heard that one. That's the one. She's brilliant. And what's really fun is there's a... how Curb Your Enthusiasm started, and also ESPN's history. And on the ESPN history one, that song showed up. And so I'm like, oh, I picked this song that is like even used by big time podcasts. But yeah, that's the story.
That is glorious.
I just got a text from my wife that says you can't see everyone on Facebook Live, and that it's kind of square. So I don't know if she's watching on her phone and needs to tilt, or I don't know what's going on. But do you know what? You can hear us, and we sound mediocre. So we're going to keep going this way because that's all we can do.
Well, my wife just buzzed in and said all of the Miller children are missing the Prinkert kids.
See,
Zoe says, hi, Kiki. I miss you. Yeah. Come on. I love it.
So
I love it. And they're now 6 years old. So
they are. They are the 6 year olds. Well, yes. Zoe will be 6 in August.
Oh, okay. He just turned 6.
The first time we met Derry was at Disneyland. We were out for the first DYM 100.
Yep.
And we had known each other through the DYM community, and then we were part of...
we had known of each other. Yes. I did not want to like the guy. Yeah, he walked in the room, and I instantly liked the guy.
It was one of those things like where we were rivals when it came to sales numbers, and
yes.
we could tell whose stuff was doing as good as ours and sometimes better, and so we went in there. We met at Downtown Disney for lunch, and we're like, okay, how's this gonna go? And we sat down, and like 2 seconds later, Tim elbows me and goes, I really like him. So
it was kind of like a dang it, it was awesome.
Yeah. It was like one of those blind friend dates, and it just magic happened. Okay, let's get to the subject at hand.
Yep, Steph says, I can see everyone. Micah says, I can see everyone. Okay, so I think
my wife is a liar, is what you're saying.
She hates us.
All right, that's cool.
We love you, Melissa.
So
let's talk all things camp.
Let's talk
that's
camp.
That's why we're here.
So, this is my second full summer as a lead pastor, and it is my first summer since fourth grade not going to camp.
Wow.
And I am incredibly bummed.
Wow.
Last summer, I still got to go to camp because I had a couple of speaking engagements that were at camps. And this year, the camp that wanted me to come back and speak, it was for next week when I'm going to be in Arkansas doing a wedding. And so... for the first time since fourth grade, I'm not going to camp.
Wow.
But I love camp. My wife and I met working at a middle school camp when I was 19 and she was 17.
That's a true story.
Like I said, every summer since fourth grade, I've been at church camp.
No. We love camp as well. I impregnated my wife with our son at a middle school camp.
Way more info than anybody needs.
We love camp.
Apparently.
It's very meaningful.
Okay. So, Derry, you are at your sixth week of camp this summer?
Yeah, this is my sixth camp. So
that's a lot of camps.
Yeah, it is.
Is the summer 6 weeks old yet?
Well, that's the trick. We do 5 camps of our own at our church. Mm-hmm. And the K-1 is a day camp. It's just one day long. The 2-3 is an overnight. 4-5 is 2 nights. Middle school is 4.
So when you say, like,
four.
K-1, what does that mean?
One.
Like...
Kindergarten, first grade.
Kindergarten, first grade.
Yep, then second and third grade does their camp. It's 2-day. Fourth and fifth grade does a 3-day.
Okay.
And middle school does 4 days. And now I'm in day 4 of a 5-day high school
camp. Wait, Derry, have you been at every single camp?
I have. Because
did you?
I'm in this midst. I'm an idiot.
Man.
Because of that, one. And two, I've just shifted roles over the last couple months to be the next gen pastor, where I'm overseeing crib to college age.
Wow.
Timothy, I think that you're living in that role too.
Yes.
And nobody's ever gone to all of them to kind of, we've worked on playing together, but nobody's actually set and watched all 5 in sequence. And so I'm doing that to try to see how we're doing on sequencing well and setting up for the next one, as well as maybe lessons we could learn from each other.
Right.
And so I'm sitting kind of in like, we jokingly called me Camp Grandmaster. That's my title.
Oh, look at that title.
Which I said, guys, Grandmaster has a lot of negative connotations to it, but they went with it. And so yeah, that's why I'm doing it.
I'm debating whether or not I want to make any KKK jokes, but I'm deciding not to. So, or is that Grand Wizard? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a good point. I don't know.
I don't know.
Let's be happy that we don't know.
Yes, exactly.
That's a good thing.
So you are right on Lake Erie. It looks like it's colder than a Florida beach camp, but whatever. So your church, do you guys own that property, or do you rent the property?
Yeah, this is actually a property that we found 20 years ago, and it's a CMA, Christian Missionary Alliance, mm-hmm. camp, yep. that we come in as a guest group, and we rent out not all of it, but part of it. We actually rent out their second-rate facilities, which is crazy because we have larger groups than they have, but we're a nice little cash cow to them, right?
Yeah.
We actually are big fans of kind of the, like, they have a, right behind me is a really nice air conditioned center that can hold 600 people. And then there's a youth pavilion, youth tab, they call it, that is a lean to that can barely fit in our group. And we love the lean to because there's something about kind of being outdoors and mm-hmm. all. So we rent the facilities. We started, I told you guys maybe before we started, our first group was 20 kids, 20 high schoolers 20 years ago. And this year, and this isn't like to brag on the numbers, but as we talk through this year, middle school and high school combined is close to 600.
Wow.
Middle school and high school students and leaders. So
you don't just run your own camp because you have a huge population. You were running your own camp before you had 600 going to camp.
Yeah, actually, we started, the guy who brought me in, my third decade story, I talked with him, Terry Bly was the guy that brought me in, and he said, I have a vision for us to develop a camping ministry. And the heart of it was, we were a larger church at the time, and we were really struggling to connect our kids. And we just both had such great camp experiences growing up.
Right.
And there was a camp tied to our denomination, but it was like 10 minutes away, so our kids weren't getting away. Right. And it was at a terrible time of the year. And so we said, let's try our own. We came here. We just ran a 2-night deal. If you're familiar with the amusement park Cedar Point, it's a yep. huge yeah. deal around here. It's actually just across the lake, 30 minutes away. And we just built it as a Cedar Point trip. And we brought 20 kids. We tested out. And we just year by year incrementally changed to make it become our own camp. So we've done all. I mean, that number has kind of grown with us, with the first one being, yeah, in just a small scale, very simple deal.
Wow.
You know, it's... In my church world experience, and I've talked about this some, but for whatever reason, I was in really big church world, and then all of a sudden, I was not. And it's been neat to see both sides of things. But so I was at churches where we put on our own camp every year, and so I've seen all that goes into that and all the work that goes into that.
Right.
And I was on staff at a church where our church actually owned a camp about 3 hours away from where our church was. And I was on the team that launched that first camp. And so it went from not just, hey, we're showing up and running a camp, but no, we're running the custodians. We're doing all of it. And then the past 5 or 6 years in student ministry, I got to go kind of backwards and say, no, we're not backwards. I got to go just to the other side of,
sure.
you know, we are taking our kids to camp.
Right.
Where
that's the spectrum that we're on.
Yeah.
Now.
All of the decisions have been made for you. You are showing up and you're just dropping kids. Or, you know, you're showing up with your kids and they tell you when to eat, when to do whatever.
Right.
And there's definitely pros and cons to both sides of things.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think the way that you're doing it is probably a little bit more work. And by probably,
slightly.
I mean definitely a whole lot more work.
Yep. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, there's no question about it. Like, and in fact, that's like if people are just ask me, is it worth doing your own camp? I would say not necessarily because it is so much work. But I did some math one day because I was just thinking through, like, after every year, I'm going to go home Wednesday and I'm probably going to sleep for 3 days straight.
Right.
and is this really worth it? But then I basically looked at the time from, you know, we're up at 8 a.m. and we're going till midnight. And if I really look at that, it's programming time, the time of high school camp. That's the equivalent of 36 and a half weeks of program time of Wednesday night. And if I think about the amount of hours, and we're talking stupid hours, like I spent 2.5 hours trying to figure out how to get 8 different teams to 4 different sites where they can match up. And, you know, like just stuff that I wish I would have had a master's in mathematics. That,
yeah.
You know, and I'm like, is this really worth it? But when I consider what I'm really doing is I'm planning for almost 2/3 of a year of programming is what happens. And you can't replace. And the beauty in doing our own as we do all that hard work in it is we're able to shape the vision and the focus of what's happening in a way that when we go to another camp, we're not able to.
Yeah,
not that there's anything wrong with going to the other camp, because obviously our staff is able to be just there. But now, you know, our pastor just stood before the students and laid out a vision this morning with them for where we're heading in the next year and seeking to really find authentic community, right? Like wow. We get the chance to really shape that. That's a huge win.
Yeah, and when you're going to another camp, it's, hey, here's the theme this week.
Yep.
Yeah.
And
yep.
there's nothing worse than when you get to a camp and you think, hey, here's the theme this week, and oh wait, we preached on all of that stuff this spring.
Yeah, sure.
So
yeah, we just got back from Student Life Camp, so we had D.A. Horton and Craig Rochelle as our two keynote speakers. We had Elevation Worship leading our worship. So like a bunch of names that would impress me and a lot of the youth leaders, but when you ask a bunch of teenagers,
they don't care.
They have no idea who those guys are.
They don't care. Our denomination goes to a camp that is stupid expensive. Like what, $800, $900 a kid, something mm-hmm. ridiculous.
It's insane.
And it's because they have LeCrae come in and Chris Tomlin comes in and leads worship and Crowder comes in.
Right.
And you just kind of want to shape you like, look, 20 years ago when the people making the student ministry decisions were students, the top Christian band was cool. You know, like
right.
the everybody in the youth group was, you know, listening to POD. And so having the top Christian band come in was a big deal.
Sure.
That's not the world we live in these days. And so spending the extra money to do that is one thing. But at the other hand, the money that is spent on camp, this is going to get super nerdy out there. I'm sorry. So my favorite class in all of my years at Dallas Theological Seminary was a class called Christian Camping. Ooh. I did get an A in that class, yes. It was wonderful. The executive director of Pine Cove, which is either the largest or the second largest Christian camp in the world, depending on what Kanakuk has done that summer or the summer before, was the guy teaching the class. And we just broke down, you know, it was a couple of days on the ministry of camp, a couple of days on the promotion and media stuff and how to get people to come to your camp.
Right.
But then it was a few days on the finances of camp. And he broke down the, you know, food costs are 30% higher than they were in 1995. You know, buying a jet ski is 30% more than it was in 1995. Construction costs for new camps, blah, blah, blah. Insurance costs are 180% of what they were 20 years ago at a camp. Mm. And so that's why I think you're seeing so many camps pop up at hotels or at resorts in non-traditional campgrounds because it's expensive to do camp well.
Right. Yeah. So our student life camp was on the beach. We were at Ocean Walk. Literally, my floor was 24 floors up. We had an ocean front view. There was 8 guys in my room. We had several high school rooms, several middle school rooms. But they're 3-bedroom condos with 2 full kitchens and 2 full baths. So we're not exactly slumming it at a camp. But the benefit for me is I get to bring all of my small group leaders. I get to hand them a small group leader guide and say, this is all you have to do this week. Keep these kids alive and lead them during small group time, and you'll be blessed with incredible teaching, incredible worship. And it's almost like a mini retreat for them as well. So it's I enjoy being able to pour into my leaders and pour into my students and not have to worry about the programming side of things.
Yep. That totally makes sense, Tim. I mean, because I think that's the reverse for us, and we've gotten to the point now where we understand our staff. We tell them, like, you're going to have to search for the pastoral moments because we're going to be the programmers.
Yeah.
Right.
And so our heavy emphasis, we got to bring in leaders. Now, the awesome thing is, you know, of our near, like, we have cabin groups, we call them, and our leaders, most of them are alumni. They've done this camp. They love it, and they get to return it back. One of my favorite pictures we do is when we pull out every former student that's a cabin leader and just look and see those pay it forward moments. But we recognize we're investing into that. I think the win, you know, going back to the money thing, Andrew, we learned early on that the meal costs were significant. So you're saying $800. We pull our camp, our high school camp costs $240 per kid.
That's awesome.
And part of it is because we're creating all kinds of cost cuts. And we've had some, our church believes in this enough. There's budget ways we can help out. It's some subsidy of that, but it's not a ton. And the biggest savings is we bring in a cook. I told her, I'm going to go on a podcast. I want people that are doing their own camp to learn how you do it. She said, you tell them that they can contact you, and I'd love to tell them how you do it. Because we have one conventional oven to feed 300 middle school and leaders, and she does it all through these slow cookers.
Wow.
She brings in moms, and the moms help with the cooking, and then those kids' moms get a scholarship to camp.
That's awesome.
So that's how we pay for them. And for the cost of one day meal through the camp, she does all the meals.
That's awesome.
For our entire camp. And so, that, again, doing your own camp, I think one of the biggest pros is the cost is heavy on the time that goes into it,
yeah.
but we can keep the cost down to make it affordable. And I love to go to our parents and say, look, you will spend $500 to $1,000 on your sports camp, but here's what ours is going to cost, and we're investing in your kids' spiritual well-being.
And I think that's
a great selling point.
It's a huge selling point because, you know, I can't talk. You never want to tell a kid, oh, you know, sorry, you can't come to camp.
No.
But when camp is $600 or $700,
it's hard to front that.
It's church is for everybody, but not every youth group trip can be for everybody.
Right.
And how do you explain that, you know, to a sixth grader? Hey, sorry.
Right.
You know,
Derry, I really like what you just said about talking about sports camp versus, you know, hey, here's a camp for the spiritual side of things. I really haven't tackled it like that before, because we do have quite a few that do sports camps in the summer.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a really interesting. When did you start tackling like that, talking about sports camps with spiritual
camps? Yeah. I've learned over time, and this is kind of a greater principle than just camp.
Yep.
My new approach with parents is like, look, we believe in your sports teams. We think that's awesome. We have some great coaches in our communities that love Jesus and they want to invest in your kids. And
sure.
We get that. And maybe they don't even love Jesus, but they're investing character in your kids. And that's awesome. And we want to encourage that. But the one thing I just want you to think about is they have other agendas. They got to create wins. They got to educate your kids. They've got to work through their job. We have one agenda, and that's nurturing your kids' walk with Christ. And I'm unapologetic in believing in that's the greatest priority. So if you'll give us the chance, we will make sure to keep that a priority. And that's kind of the approach we do. A really cool thing is we have a football camp at our main school that has conflicted with this every year.
Wow.
And I actually graduated with he was 1 year behind me in high school, the coach. And I just sent him an email last fall and I said, hey, look, I'm not telling you to change your camp. I know we just might be stuck because I'm stuck inside these dates, but here's our dates. And I just thrown out to you. He emailed me back and said, thanks so much. I'll be back in our camp. So they actually shifted their football camp to work inside of our schedule.
That is awesome.
And I think honestly, because he had a lot of kids telling him, I'm not coming to football camp. I won't be here. You know, that was part of it.
Right.
But also I think sometimes we can always ask. We just got to ask in the right way.
Yeah.
He was able to shift it. So
that is really cool. One of my small group leaders just jumped in and said, we benefit from our camps as much as the kids do. And I totally agree. It's awesome.
Hey, Derry, we're going to let you go because we got some other things to talk about. We got to thank some of our sponsors.
And you're the camp headmaster. You got to get back to work,
yes,
bud.
Yes, he's the grandmaster, not the headmaster.
The
campmaster.
Yeah. You were the campmaster pranker.
Hey,
we love you, Derry.
Derry, we know we've got had up on the screen that we can follow you at My Third Decade. That is your show on the DYM Podcast Network. Where else do you want people to find you?
Yeah, you can find the podcast on iTunes. Honestly, the last episode I just put up where I interviewed the guy that's taking my place in the ministry is one of my favorite episodes I've done.
Ooh.
If you're an older leader that you're looking at finding how to replace yourself, or if you're a young leader and you're feeling like, when am I going to get my shot? I think you benefit greatly from that conversation. So you can find the show on iTunes or podcast.downloadyouthministry.com. And I got a slew of resources that you can check out. That are kind of tried and tested and true, but buy Timothy and Andrews first. They're better.
Hey, listen, Derry is one of our favorites. We love him, and
we
get to hang out with him in about 2 months.
We'll see you soon.
Yeah,
thank you so
much. Can't wait, guys.
Hey, guys.
Hey, it's been fun.
We want you to hear from some of the people that make this show possible, and we will be right back after you listen to this.
The Morning After Ministry Show is brought to you by Dignity Memorial. The Dignity Memorial Network of more than 2,000 licensed providers is North America's largest and most trusted brand for your funeral, cremation, or cemetery needs. You can find out all that Dignity has to offer at dignitymemorial.com. Dignity Memorial, life well celebrated.
Peak Reach. You aren't invisible, and your brand shouldn't be either. Peak Reach offers social media management for nonprofits and small businesses of any size. GiveCentral lets you accept electronic donations of all kinds any time of day. It is easy to use and saves time on accounting and data management. GiveCentral is designed specifically for nonprofit organizations and has the lowest processing fees available in the marketplace.
Our show is a proud part of the Download Youth Ministry Podcast Network.
Hey, we would love it if you would check out the other shows on the DYM Podcast Network.
You check out them out.
You'll
grow. You'll learn.
You will so much. And go, you know, go to a Dignity Memorial Funeral Home if you want to. Look at these cool stickers we got.
You like our new merch?
Yeah, from Sticker Mule.
How much should we pay for these?
Well, being that we're going to charge $8 for each one, thanks to a promotion that Sticker Mule was doing.
Thanks, Sticker Mule.
We got these for $1.
You are not our sponsor.
But if you want to be Sticker Mule, we will.
We welcome you as a sponsor.
We will give out all these stickers all the time and let people know how awesome they are.
Magnets are coming soon. I need one for my car.
We were very impressed when we got those.
They're awesome.
So check out Sticker Mule. Check out Peak Reach. Check out Give
Why am
Central.
I still wearing these headphones?
I don't know. Why am I wearing these headphones? We don't need these anymore. So Tim never actually brings normal size headphones. So we have a pair from the 80s that I found in a closet around here.
I just like that Tim wears. Feel awesome.
Do you know what? You looked awesome in those headphones.
That. I appreciate that.
Tim, we were both preaching on prayer yesterday.
Yes,
it was
we were.
My fifth sermon on the subject. We've been in a series called The Lord's Prayers.
Ooh.
Where we started on Father's Day and went through the prayers that Jesus prayed.
So
and
have
some
you
of
been
things,
doing all things Jesus in prayer?
All things Jesus in prayer. What Jesus taught about prayer
Love
and
it.
Then Jesus' specific prayers. So yesterday we were in the Garden of Gethsemane.
Ooh.
And we ended the series with, you know, what do you do when God says no? With the idea that, you know, when Jesus was done praying, he got up and went, you know, he was obedient. And we said,
Andrew,
sometimes,
I love it.
Sometimes, I don't remember what the phrase was, but it was one of those brilliant wordsmithing moments.
It was good.
Sometimes God's no can do more good than our pleas, something like that.
Ooh. Close.
Yeah,
that has to be close. Yeah. We're reading through a book as a congregation called Forgotten Power. It's by the one and only David Butts.
I like Butts.
I love Butts, and the book is great. I never can say the name of the author from the stage. Like I said, here's the book. Go grab a copy. So we're on chapter 3 this week, and so I did Jesus in Prayer. It was really a softball for me. It was just a topical I was able to go through. All things Jesus in prayer. So pretty much what you did over 5 weeks, I was able just to boil it down into one sermon. I was very tired. If you follow my personal social media page, I actually fell asleep while preaching.
It looked like you were sleeping while preaching.
My wife takes pictures of me while I preach, and sometimes she likes to get really funny ones. And this one was mid prayer and slightly dozing a little bit, and people were captioning. Have you guys tried out the new Instagram questions feature?
You know, nothing makes me feel like I am 35, like Instagram updates, you know, when I first got my very first iPhone and I was, you know, in the 20% of people that had them, and I thought, look at this cool app that I have.
You're
that
still
other
cool,
people,
Andrew.
In fact, Tim didn't even use Instagram until we started hanging out. That's a true story.
2011. Yes.
You were using Hipstamatic or what?
A lot of people used Hipstamatic. It
and
was
then
really cool.
You were so impressed by how good my pictures looked that you switched to full on Instagram mode.
I was.
That's how tried and true. That's how old school I am.
Yes.
In Insta, and now every time there's a new update, I just feel old.
I do too.
It makes me feel old.
True
and
story.
Tired.
It took me 2 days to find out where the Instagram questions were because I thought they were a face filter. Turns out they're not. Stephanie desperately wants a Morning After Ministry mug. Can we? She wants a mug that looks like
that
the
looks,
logo. No. Like, so like the mug, like this has the handle.
So you want it to have like the dark top? Are you saying you want like a fake coffee cup like this or an actual mug that?
She wants a mug in the shape of the logo.
Okay. Well,
can we do that?
I'm sure somebody can. I don't know if it's us, but.
Somebody could probably do that.
Listen, if you are working for Vistaprint and you are listening to this show and
yep.
you want to hook us up. We
yep.
are very easily amenable. You just ask our sponsors how much love they get for the amount that they pump into us, and they will tell you. Mm. If you give us mugs,
we will love you.
We
hey,
will
my,
sing
my
your
brother
phrases
just
forever.
Speaking of my brother, my nephew went to camp with me. It was the first
I saw
time
that.
Having a family member at camp other than my spouse, and it was awesome. It was so cool.
So he lives in
He's
Jacksonville?
He's in Jacksonville, yep.
So did he meet you down there? Was he down here for a weekend and then you just took him up? How did that?
Nope. He and his buddy came to camp with me. They actually came to my parents. My parents dropped them off at church so they could ride. Because, you know, like part of
camp
part of camp is riding to camp.
Yeah.
So they got to ride to and from camp, which was Daytona Beach. It was all of 3 hours away. It wasn't much of a trek, but it sure beats that 12-hour drive to the mountains.
See, the past several years, we've been going to a camp that Orange puts on that is incredible.
Awesome. It's awesome.
It is so good.
Yep.
I mean, Reggie Joyner is there doing the small group leader training,
yep.
And the kids don't even know he's there.
Nope.
The camp is the extent that you've got one of the best speakers in the world at the camp, and he doesn't even step foot on stage because,
right.
You know, he wants cool young people to talk to the kids, and it's incredible. It's called High School Camp. If you live anywhere north of us or south of Michigan, it's worth the drive.
It is.
To go to High School Camp that Orange puts on.
It absolutely is.
But after what? Did you do that 4 years or 5 years that you decided to do student life?
This was our first combined camp.
Middle and high school camp.
I think we've done maybe one other, but I think this might have been our first at Lakeview combined middle and high school camp. It was interesting. The dynamics were crazy. I'm not used to taking. I know Derry's like, you know, 600
kids.
Different.
Yeah.
Like, we took 40 plus, and that was a lot for me. I'm used to taking 20 and 20 at two separate camps with two different groups of leaders. But I had all my leaders combined at one camp, so it was nutty and crazy and chaotic, and Jesus is still awesome. So the camp was phenomenal. We had a blast.
Tim, this is something that just struck me.
Yeah.
It is. What is today? The 16th of July?
Mm-hmm.
Today is July 16th.
Yep.
Next week, I'm going to be in Arkansas. We've got a really fun show next week. We've said from the beginning, if someone has a big morning after in ministry, we want to talk to you. And we are talking to someone who had a really big morning after because he just announced to the only church he's ever worked at that he's leaving. So that's going to be a really big, fun conversation next week.
Next Monday is my wife's birthday, so I scored reservations for two at Be Our Guest.
Ooh.
We have never
You've never
Be
done
our
Be Our
Guested.
Guest. There's people that aren't Disney people that don't realize that you can try the gray stuff. It's delicious.
I had to get the reservation 6 months out to do a dinner.
Really?
6 months.
Wow. Every time I've done something.
You can breakfast, but no, we want to do it up fancy.
Every
so we're doing
time
a dinner
I have done
out.
Something at Disney that Tim has not done, I don't think you realize how special it makes me feel. It's one of those.
Have you guys dinnered at Be Our Guest?
We haven't dinnered, but
okay.
No.
Okay.
But we somehow lucked in like the week after it opened. We got in.
No, we've been wanting to go, so we're so excited
but
to go.
The next time we do a show together will be July 31st.
Yep.
Which means my kids will be less than 2 weeks away from school starting again.
Wow.
The summer is. Yep. Over.
It's going bye-bye. Unless you go to North Bay Christian Academy, we don't start back until after Labor Day.
Well, there's like 12 people that go there, so let's not
true.
Talk to them. So we are already starting to gear up for what does the fall kickoff look like? What does our preaching calendar look like? Last week, I got our preaching calendar figured out through Christmas.
I'm so proud
and it was
of
one
you.
Of those, wow,
I am so
it
proud
is
of you.
July,
yes.
And I've got a Christmas series.
You're wearing your big boy senior pastor pants.
Well, listen, I'm not a 30-inch waist anymore. I used to be. Things have changed. So the pants have gotten considerably bigger than they once were. I have expanded.
In your ministry role.
I have expanded in lots of ways. But so as we start to prepare for the fall, Tim, what do you guys have on the docket for the rest of your summer with your youth ministry?
Youth ministry-wise, we have a camp reunion coming up a week from Wednesday.
It's
so
such a good event.
It's fabulous. Everybody shows up. It's a glorified youth group. I call it camp reunion, so everybody shows up. We'll tie a special fun event. I'm looking at renting a silent disco kit to do some silent disco with it.
Nice.
And we'll just talk all things camp. We'll celebrate, we'll remember, we'll praise. And then we'll have a few weeks off, and then we'll kick back off in the middle of August.
With welcome to the school year.
Welcome to all things school year, and then we'll gear up because we're going to go to Rock the Universe.
You know,
I'll talk to your youth guy.
There are a few things that I miss a whole lot about being in full-time youth ministry, and the free tickets to theme parks is definitely one of them. So we had a new youth guy start about 3 or 4 weeks ago. He's a former student of mine. Tim's known him like since he was in 7th or 8th grade.
He's awesome.
And it's so cool because we you know, he's just been here for about a month, and we were talking about the mission trip that we went on. He was on our mission trip with us, and his little brother went. And of the kids in our youth group, here at our little church. Two of them have now said, hey, we're going with you guys on that trip when you go next year.
I love it.
Which is huge for us because we've never had any big kid youth trip, especially not an international trip. You know, we've done service projects at other churches and things, but to have kids and their parents say, hey, we went in. So it's great to have a guy that's young and exciting.
So cool.
And he and his little brother, they like to come and leave me gifts that they find at thrift stores.
Nifty
gifties. Do we want to grab those shoes over there?
There's some really nifty gifties.
Hang on. So you might remember 2 weeks ago we said that there were these brownies waiting for me when I got in here because our youth group meets on Sunday night, so they had left me some brownies.
Special brownies.
Last week there was a large avocado and these shoes that they found at a thrift store for me.
So pretty.
They are a women's size 10,
but they are $10.
But they fit me beautifully. I don't know if you can wear socks with them, so my feet kind of sweat when they've been in them. But today I got here.
I love gifts.
Today I got here, and this shirt was waiting for me. It says Dad Bod. Dad Bod.
Dad Boo or Dad Bod?
That's
a D. Dad Bod.
Yes.
It's when you first showed him, I thought it said Dad Boo. I thought that was just some slang that cool kids were using these days.
Dad Bod, which that's is true. Kind of what I look like, especially when I'm not wearing said shirt, but we won't talk about that right now.
Great picture there.
It has been wonderful having someone here running our youth ministry who's young and exciting, and the kids are excited about that.
I love it.
And it's just kind of neat watching the different stages of youth ministry. I think, you know, we kind of start out as the cool older brother.
Mm-hmm.
You move into the fun uncle, and then you eventually become the dad.
Yeah.
And for me, that's when it was time to hit the ejector seat.
Yep.
And for him, he's just getting on at the very beginning of the conveyor belt, and it's super fun to watch.
So cool. Stephanie Miller says, when's the wives show?
The wives show? You know, that's a wonderful question.
We're going to have to map this out. You've done your preaching calendar. We need to do our morning after ministry show calendar.
So we can be like Derry and actually know what we're
Derry
talking about.
Derry is so cool. If you don't know him, follow him, get to know him. The dude is awesome.
He's just smart.
Yeah.
And he's pensive, right? That's a word.
That's a word.
Like, he thinks deep thoughts about important things.
Yep.
And we want you to definitely check him out. Hey, we would love it if you are watching this show, if you want to hit that little share button. We don't have anything to give you this week, but you know, hey, maybe we could put a sticker in the mail and send it to you.
We could
get the first ever person to get the Morning After Ministry Show sticker.
We will DM you shortly. Someone's getting the sticker.
So if you share.
Show them the sticker. Ah. Oh,
look at that.
It's so pretty. All right, share the show, get a sticker. Share the show, get a sticker. I love that.
Well, yeah, it sounds good. So,
Andrew, it's getting late.
It's time for us to wrap this up. Yeah. You've got to go to work.
I'm so spiritual.
I'm leaving on vacation today, so I can't.
What?
Yeah.
You're leaving today?
Yeah, we're leaving tonight after dinner.
Because
we're driving to Arkansas. You have to go. You were just at work all last week.
I know.
You're not taking a comp day after camp?
I'm,
Tim is the king of the comp day.
I've comped so many days. I'll be comping next Monday to take my wife out for
a day.
There you go.
Yeah. Well, we love you guys.
We do.
Thank you for loving us. Thank you for watching or listening, however it is that you're getting this.
Yep.
Be sure to check out the other shows on the podcast network because there's so much good stuff there.
There really is.
From so many smart people. We love you guys, and we will see you next week.
See you guys.